Welcome to Zichur Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Shabbos Daf Mem Hey. Much of this daf focuses on clarifying Rabbi Shimon's parameters for muksa. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan if Rabbi Shimon would hold that wheat that one planted in the ground and eggs are placed under a hen would be considered muksa since they were dachi b'yadayim, they were actively set aside. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Rabbi Shimon, nothing useful is muksa on the basis of having been set aside, except that which is similar to the oil in a Shabbos lamp while it is burning. Hoyo v'huksu l'mitzvaso, huksu l'yisura. Since the oil was set aside for a mitzvah, it was only set aside for the duration of the prohibition of the mitzvah, meaning for as long as the lamp burns. The act of setting aside the wheat in the ground or placing the egg under the hen alone does not make it muksa. Number two, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Shmuel that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no food that is muksa on the basis of being set aside other than figs and grapes that were set out to dry before Shabbos and have not yet dried out completely. Rashi explains that once the figs and grapes begin to bake in the sun, they are no longer fit for consumption, and therefore Rabbi Shimon concedes that they become muksa. Other foods that are somewhat edible don't become muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. And point number three, there's a machlokas whether Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that died on Shabbos is muksa. According to Mar Bar Amemar in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon concedes to Rabbi Yehuda that healthy animals which died on Shabbos are prohibited, since the owner did not have in mind that the animal might die on Shabbos, in which case he could have fed the carcass to his dogs. According to Mar, the son of Rabbi Yosef in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda even here and permitted use of the healthy animals that died on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the healthy animal was never actively rejected from being used for dog food upon its death. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon would hold that wheat that when planted in the ground and eggs were placed under a hen would be considered muksa since they were a dachi b'daim, they were actively set aside. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Rabbi Shimon, nothing useful is muksa on the basis of having been set aside except that which is similar to the oil in a Shabbos lamp while it's burning. Hoyo v'huksa l'mitzvaso, huksa l'isuro. Since the oil was set aside for a mitzvah, it was only set aside for the duration of the prohibition of the mitzvah, meaning for as long as the lamp burns. The act of setting aside the wheat in the ground and placing the egg under the hen alone does not make it muksa. Number two, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Shmuel that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no food that is muksa on the basis of being set aside other than figs and grapes that were set out to dry before Shabbos and have not yet dried out completely. Rashi explains that once the figs and grapes begin to bake in the sun, they're no longer fit for consumption, and therefore Rabbi Shimon concedes that they become muksa. Other foods that are somewhat edible do not become muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. And number three, there's machlokes where the Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that died on Shabbos is muksa. According to Mar Bar Amemar in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon concedes to Rabbi Yehuda that healthy animals which died on Shabbos are prohibited, since the owner did not have in mind that the animal might die on Shabbos, in which case he could have fed the carcass to his dogs. According to Mar, the son of Rabbi Yosef, in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda even here and permitted use of the healthy animals that died on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the healthy animal was never actively rejected from being used for dog food upon its death. All right, so now we go to our simon. So our simon for Memhe is Monopoly. Monopoly. Memhe, Monopoly. Okay, here goes. The Monopoly game in the midst of freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes, not fit for consumption, and suddenly dropped dead. Once again in slow motion. The Monopoly game, Monopoly, that means we're on Duff, Memhe. The Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat, which reminds us, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan if Rabbi Shimon would hold that wheat the one planted in the ground and eggs that are placed under a hen would be considered muksa since they were dachi b'daim, they were actively set aside. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that according to Rabbi Shimon, nothing useful is muksa on the basis of having been set aside, except that which is similar to the oil in a Shabbos lamp while it's burning. Oil v'huksa l'mitzvaso, huksa l'isuro. Since the oil was set aside for a mitzvah, it was only set aside for the duration of the prohibition of the mitzvah, meaning for as long as the lamp burns. The act of setting aside the wheat in the ground or placing the egg under the hen alone does not make a muksa. So the Monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes, not fit for consumption, which reminds us of Rabbi Yudah in the name of Shmuel, that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no food that is muksa on the basis of being set aside other than figs and grapes that were set out to dry before Shabbos and have not yet dried out completely. Rashi explains that once the figs and grapes begin to bake in the sun, they're no longer fit for consumption, and therefore Rabbi Shimon concedes that they become muksa. Other foods that are somewhat edible do not become muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. So the monopoly game in the midst of the freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes, not fit for consumption, and suddenly dropped dead. Which reminds us, there's a machlokas whether Rabbi Shimon holds that an animal that died on Shabbos is muksa. According to Mar Bar Meimar in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon concedes that to Rabbi Yehuda, the healthy animals which died on Shabbos are prohibited, since the owner did not have in mind that the animal might die on Shabbos, in which case he could feed the carcass to his dogs. According to Mar, the son of Rabbi Yosef, in the name of Rava, Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda even here and permitted use of the healthy animals that died on Shabbos. According to Tosos, the healthy animal was never actively rejected from being used for dog food upon its death. So once again, the monopoly game in the midst of freshly planted wheat came to an unexpected end when the barn dog ate the drying figs and grapes not fit for consumption and suddenly dropped dead. Now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Siman Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. Grandma, so here goes. The grandma was so proud. Grandma, that reminds us, we're on Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma was so proud of the bathing suit she bought for the grandkids, but she wouldn't let them go down to the river, which reminds us. It was said in the name of Rav that anyone who places his hand over his lower parts, his private parts, is considered ki'ilu kofar b'vriso shel Avram Avinu. It's considered as if he had denied the bris of Avram Avinu since he appears ashamed of the circumcision. The Rabban from Avashi's academy would stand straight when going down to the river, but would bend over when coming up since they'd be facing the public. So the grandma was so proud of the bathing suit she bought for the grandkids, but she wouldn't let them go down to the river until they walked Dalet Amos after the meal, which reminds us of Brisa lists a number of bad eating habits and their harmful effects. Included in the list are, if one ate and did not drink, his eating is tantamount to shedding his own blood, and this is the beginning of stomach ailments. And also, if one ate and didn't walk Dalet Amos, 4 Amos afterwards, his food rots inside of him, and this is the beginning of bad breath. So the grandma was so proud of the bathing suit she bought for the grandkids, but she wouldn't let them go down to the river until they walked Dalet Amos after their meal, and she had time to clear the kettle. Which reminds us, the Mishnah say that one may not put cold water in the kettle that was cleared in order that it be heated, but may put cold water into the kettle or into a cup of hot water so as to warm it. Rav Ada bar Masna said the Mishnah is referring to a kettle which was cleared of its water. Putting a small quantity of water in it is prohibited because it still will heat the water. Pouring in a larger quantity of cold water to warm the water is permitted. He's not concerned that pouring a large quantity of water into the empty kettle will harden the steel of the kettle, which would violate the malacha of Makah B'Patish, striking the final hammer blow, because he says the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds the davar she'eino miskaven is mutter, something that is unintended is permitted. Abai says the Mishnah is referring to a kettle that was cleared from the fire, but still has water in it. Pouring a small quantity of cold water into it is prohibited, since it will heat the water, whereas pouring a large quantity of cold water is permitted, so it will only warm it. He says that this implies that it would be prohibited to pour a large quantity of cold water into a kettle cleared of its water, since it will cause a hardening of the steel. And the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yehuda that says, Davar she'eino miskaven, asur. Daf Membeis. So the Simfer Membeis are mobsters, mobsters, like the mob. So here goes. The mobsters, reminding us, we're on Daf Membeis. The mobsters like to throw burning metal into rishus of rabbi to scare the public, which reminds us, Shmuel said that one may extinguish a piece of burning metal that's in rishus of rabbi so the public will not be harmed by it, but may not extinguish a piece of burning wood. Rashi explains that the malacha of mechaba, extinguishing a fire, does not apply to metal, since it merely glows. Although extinguishing metal was forbidden by the Rabbanan, they did not extend their decree in the case of potential damage to the public. Extinguishing wood is the malacha mechaba, and therefore it is prohibited in such a case. So the mobsters like to throw burning metal into rishus of rabbim to scare the public, and then eat their freshly spiced hot food behind the trash, which reminds us the Mishnah states that one is not allowed to place spices in a frying pan or boiling pot that were just removed from the flame, but one may add them to hot food in a bowl or in a tureen where the food has been transferred. Rashi explains that the bowl or tureen are a klisheni, a secondary vessel, and a klisheni einam avashel. A secondary vessel is not capable of cooking. So the mobsters like to throw burning metal into rishus of rabbim to scare the public, and then eat their freshly spiced hot food behind the trash, covering the eggs that were commonly laid. Which reminds us, Rav Chisda said, that although one may not place a vessel under a hen to receive her egg and prevent it from rolling off an incline, one may turn over a vessel and cover a newly laid egg so it should not break. Rav explained Rav Chisda's reasoning, saying that the rabbis allowed moving non-muksa items for the sake of a muksa item to prevent commonplace losses, but not for uncommon losses. So since a hen is likely to lay its egg in a trash heap, Rav Chisda permits a vessel to be overturned to protect the egg from being crushed. He did not permit placing a vessel under the hen to prevent the egg from rolling off an incline, since that is an uncommon situation. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simfer Mem Gimel is a magazine, So here goes. The farmer uses Weiss magazines. That means we're on Daf Mem Gimel. So the farmer uses Weiss magazines to make paper bowls to catch newly laid eggs, which reminds us on Daf Mem Beis, Rav explained Rav Chis's ruling forbidding placing a vessel under the hen to catch his egg was due to the fact that it was an uncommon loss. Moving a non-muksa item for a muksa item is therefore prohibited. Rav Yosef provides an alternative understanding of Rav Chis's ruling. He said, the reason Rav Chisa forbid placing a vessel under the hen to catch his egg is mishum to kamavatakoi mehechano. By doing so, one is nullifying the preparedness of the vessel, since it will become prohibited to move it once the muksa eggs fall into it. So the farmer, who uses Weiss magazine to make paper bowls to catch newly laid eggs, and little bridges for his birds at Beinish Mashos, which reminds us, Rabbi Abao explains the reason why Braisa prohibits moving a basket that was inverted in front of young birds so that they can climb up and down on it, even when after the birds have climbed off of it, is due to the fact that the birds were on the basket throughout Bein HaShmashos. And Migu Diksa Tzayla Bein HaShmashos Iska Tzayla Chulayoma. Since it was muksa during Bein HaShmashos, it's muksa for the entire day. The basket is considered to have become a base to the muksa birds. So the farmer who uses Weiss magazines to make paper bowls to catch newly laid eggs and little bridges for his birds at Bein HaShmashos was called out to help to move a corpse lying in a bed in the sun on Shabbos, which reminds us there's a malchokas regarding how one can move a corpse lying on a bed in the sun into the shade. It was said in the name of Shmuel that one should roll the corpse from bed to bed until it reaches the shade. It was said in the name of Rav that one should place a loaf of bread or an infant on the corpse in order to move the corpse. The Gemara clarifies that where bread or an infant are available, Rav and Shmuel agree it's permitted to move the corpse by placing the bread or infant upon them. Where they disagree is where there is no bread or infant available. Rav holds tiltal minitzad shmei tiltal. Moving something directly, indirectly, is deemed moving, and therefore rolling the corpse from bed to bed is prohibited. Shmuel holds tiltal minitzad lo shmei tiltal. Moving something indirectly is not deemed moving, and therefore rolling the corpse from bed to bed is permitted. Daf Mem Dalet. So the symbol for Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. Old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud. Mud, that means we're on Daf Mem Dalet. Old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud, which reminds us the next Mishnah introduces a malchokas regarding the muksa status of a lamp. According to the Tanakhama, one may move a new lamp, but not an old lamp, because he holds a muksa makmas mius. An item becomes muksa due to it becoming repugnant, and a used clay lamp becomes repugnant after use. Rabbi Shimon holds one may move all lamps except for a lamp that is actually burning on Shabbos. He doesn't hold a muksa makmas mius. The Gemara later on will clarify that he prohibits moving a lit lamp because the wick and the oil have become a base of the flame, which is muksa. So old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, which reminds us Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that if someone verbally designated a bed for the storage of money and then placed money on it, even during the week, it is subsequently forbidden to move on Shabbos, even if the money was removed before Shabbos. If he never had used it for money, then it would be permitted to use on Shabbos. The designation alone would not make the bed muksa. So old repugnant lamps were strewn in the mud along with cash in a bed that had been designated to store money, contents which had fallen out of a coach that had a removable wheel, which reminds us, a mission was brought from Kalim that teaches that in a case where a wooden coach has a removable wheel, the coach and wheel are considered two separate items. Therefore, if the coach becomes tame, the wheel does not automatically become tame with it. Secondly, the wheel is not measured with the coach to determine if it has the liquid volume of 40 saw or greater. An object 40 saw or greater is considered too large to be portable and therefore does not contract tuma. In a case where the coach is large and serves as a barrier between a corpse and its contents, the wheel itself does not serve as a barrier and it becomes tame. And if money was on the wheel on Shabbos, the coach cannot be dragged since the wheel becomes a basis l'davar aser, a base for a forbidden object. All right, now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that Rabbi Shimon holds the only foods that become muksa when set aside to dry are figs and grapes? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about bad eating habits and their consequences? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 3. Where do we learn about the problem of cooking an egg in the sand? That's on daf Lamates. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you learn about the covering one's private parts? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 5. Where do we learn about moving non-muksa items from muksa when it comes to uncommon losses? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn about pouring cold water in a cleared kettle? That's on daf Mem Aleph, good. Number 7. What are you going about Toldos HaChama? That's on Daf. Lamates, good. Number 8. Where do you learn about the halacha always follows the mediator? That's on Daf. Lamates, good. Number 9. Where do you learn about something set aside to banish mashals becomes muksa for all of Shabbos? That's on Daf. Mem Gimel. And finally, number 10. Which Daf do you learn about Yad Saletis Bo? That's on Daf. Mem. And now for the 3 bonus questions from Brachos. Which Daf do we learn about the importance of davening with Kovod Rosh? That's on Daf. Lamed, good. Number 2. Where do we learn why women merit Olam Haba? That's on Daf. Yud Zayin, good. And number 3. Which Daf do you learn about what one does if they forgot to make a bracha and the food is still in their mouth? That's on Daf. Nun, great. We've now concluded the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zuchu wishing you a great day and great learning.